Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're going to be reading today from Exodus 3, 1 to 14, and it reads, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will turn aside to see his great sight, why the bush is not burned.' When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' And he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' He said, 'But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.' Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'"
Thank you, Sam. Let's bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come into your word. We pray, Lord, that as we read your word would read us. And Lord, that you would have our attention and our affection fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we pray that we would hear directly from heaven. Lord, I want to move out of the way, that we hear from you and you alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Can they say hi to three people that you didn't come with? Just turn around and say hi. Introduce yourself. Hi, my name is... All right, we're in this new series called The Deeper Life, and I've been really excited to bring you this series as well. So myself and Pastor Henry, we're going to be going through the Word of God today throughout this month of August. And we're going to be looking at how to develop a deeper life in God through the lens of the life of Moses. So we're going to be looking specifically at the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I know that sometimes, you know, like people, when they start reading the Bible at the beginning of the year, they say, you know, one of my New Year's resolutions is to read the Bible through the year. You start off in Genesis, it's exciting. Exodus is pretty exciting. You get to like Numbers and Leviticus, and by the time you get to Leviticus, yeah, enough there, right? But there's actually so much there. And I really believe over the next 4 weeks, and especially as we enter into our time of prayer and fasting over the next 3 days, there's an invitation that I just really want to kick off with that I really believe the Holy Spirit is giving to us as a church here in Logan. And so I wanted to entitle my message today, "Can I Have Your Attention?" Can I have your attention? Not myself, but I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants our attention today. I wanted to start with this poem. And the poem is entitled "Tired." And let's see if this is the way that you feel. It's a short poem and it goes like this. "I'm so tired of waiting. Aren't you? for the world to become good and beautiful and kind, let us take a knife and cut the world in two and see what worms are eating at the rind. Now, this poem was written by a guy by the name of Langston Hughes, and he's an African-American activist during the civil rights movement, and he wrote about the rottenness of society when he wrote this poem. But I dare say that society is made up of people, and if society is made up of people and society is rotten at the core, we must know that people, ourselves, there is a rotting that happens if we're not careful and don't pay attention. So my prayer is during the next 4 weeks that God would begin to have access to our hearts and really see the condition of our soul. And so the first question I want to ask you, and I really want to invite you to take notes, because I really feel like a lot of what God is going to reveal to us, not by what I say, but by His Word today, are actually going to be things that will echo into your life throughout the rest of the week. But the question I wanted to ask you today, just to kick off this whole series, is how is your soul? How is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions? How is your soul? And do you have the right measures in place to be able to recognize that our soul may need some attention? Peter Scazzaro, the author of The Emotionally Healthy Leader, The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, that whole Emotionally Healthy series, he has this statement that he often says, and he says this: remember, your body is a major, not a minor prophet. I'll say that again. Your body is a major and not a minor prophet. I know this personally, right? That in the times that I've battled with things that have stressed me out, temptations towards anxiety and fear, there's been times that my body has reacted. Peter Scazzaro goes on to talk about these the 13 signs, of not being involved in a loving union with Jesus. And when we're not in a loving union with Jesus, we enter into this place of where our soul is not at rest. And so for this reason, one of the most significant indicators that all is well with our souls and we're in loving union with Jesus is that every cell in our body is relaxed. Why? Because our bodies often know before our minds the state of our souls. Now I'm going to go through all 13 of these signs. Feel free to take a picture of them if you need to. But the signs are, and I just want you to listen to these signs as I read them out and ask yourself, are these things evident in my own soul? I feel anxiety in the tenseness and tightness in my body. I'm not present or listening intently. I feel pressure with too much to do in too little time. I'm rushing. I give quick opinions and judgments. I'm fearful about the future. I'm overly concerned about what others think. I'm defensive and easily offended. I am preoccupied and distracted. I am resentful of interruptions and abrupt. I'm manipulative and not patient. I am unenthusiastic or threatened by the success of others. I talk more than I listen. You see, when our lives are out of control, our stomach can get all knotted. Our neck gets tight. There's a tightness that fills our shoulders. There's our fingers begin to close up in a fist. Or maybe our legs start shaking a little bit. Don't check your legs. They're probably shaking right now. And our body and our posture begins to close up. I saw some of y'all. Stop it. But these are all bodily signs that maybe, I'm not saying all the time, but maybe our souls are not at rest. Let me just pause my message at this point, because there may be times, okay? And I want to invite you to do this now. But out of respect, not for me, but for the Word of God and what it might be doing with your fellow brothers and sisters, if you need to use the bathroom, now's the time, okay? Because if there's ever a time that we need to listen to the Word of God during this time, I need you to focus and lock in to what He might be speaking to your soul out of respect. Good, take the time now. Because the reason being is I really believe that God's going to begin to do work in your soul. So be cautious, all right? As God is speaking to other people, that we don't want to move around it and be distracting to others. Is that okay? We family? Are we all right? Yeah. Love you. How many of you have heard the expression, or actually the actual act of having a canary in the coal mine? Now, this illusion is actually something that used to take place. I've never worked in a mine here in Australia, and I'm sure we may have some of us that have or know somebody well that has worked in a mine. But back in the day when you used to work in a mine, you would take a caged canary down into the mine with you as a warning sign, right? And I feel for these canaries. I don't know if they do them anymore, but like you would take this canary down into the mine, and if you saw the canary, like little Tweety bird, like flop over and die, that's usually a sign that you're undetected, but you're in a carbon monoxide environment and you need to get out of the mine immediately. I know that's pretty sad for Tweety Bird. But how many of us, we don't have our own canaries of our souls in place? And Tweety Bird in our spirit was dead a long time ago. But we just continue to exist, continue to roll without paying attention to our soul. How is your soul today? Let's look at the life of Moses. Now, I want us to meet Moses in Exodus chapter 2 before we go into the passage that Sam read. How many of you are familiar with the movie The Prince of Egypt? Okay, it's quite a few of us here. For those of you who are unfamiliar with, or how many of you have heard of Moses or know the Moses story? Okay, a few more hands. All right. Some of you may not know the Moses story. Moses is an actual historical figure that lived a couple of thousand years before Christ. There's actual archaeological evidence that Moses existed, as well as the events of his life. And so when we look at the life of Moses, it's really interesting to see the journey that he went on. Many of us know that the thing he was most famous for was leading the exodus of the Israelites. Scholars believe there was over 100 million Israelites that left slavery out of Egypt and took them into the promised land of Canaan. And that's what he's famous for. But there was all sorts of internal drama that was happening in his life. And as I show you this photo, it's not an actual photo of Moses, but if you can imagine, as I read Exodus 2, verse 11, it says, "One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were, and he watched them at their hard labor. And he saw an Egyptian." Remember, the Israelites were under Egyptian slavery. "And he saw this Egyptian slave driver beating a Hebrew, one of his own people." That's important. One of his own people. "And looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Wow. "The next day he went out and he saw two Hebrews fighting. And he asked the one that was in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? And the man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me like you killed the Egyptian?" And then Moses was afraid and he thought, "What I did must have become known." How many of you know that whatever's inside of you will come out? And unless we pay attention to our souls, we're going to end up seeing manifest in our lives the very things, the very ugliness that may exist in our spirits. How's your soul? Now, I often think about Moses, right? You might be thinking and wondering, why would God entrust the destiny of these Israelites to this murderer? And that's a very good question. In fact, you see a record of God trusting imperfect humans throughout history. And so we see Moses, right? He murders this Egyptian, and now the news has come out. What was inside has come out. If you read the beginning of Exodus 2, you might find some clues there. I'm really excited. Some of us are participating in RISE sessions, and a lot of it is seeing whatever ugly is inside of us come out so that we can deal with it and take it to the cross of Jesus Christ, right? But what I love about looking at the story of Moses is we can see that much like many of our stories, the trauma actually might have come from his upbringing. In fact, his birth, the nature of the situation that he was born into. Think for a moment about Moses, right? He was not born in the best of situations. He was born to a Hebrew woman. And at the same time he was born, there was an edict that was issued by the Egyptian Pharaoh that was there was to be a murder of every firstborn son. And he was the firstborn son of this specific woman. And out of fear for this child, she wraps him up and puts him in a basket and sends him down the river. How many of you know that you would be all over 7 or 9 news if you took your child, wrapped him up, and put him in the amazingly clean Brisbane River? Not, right? But this woman was so desperate to keep this child alive, she saw off in the distance this woman who looked like affluence and influence and wrapped him up and put him in a basket and sent him down the river. Now you may think, okay, now that we know the story and we know what Moses entered into because the person who would rescue him out of the river was Pharaoh's daughter. But think about that child. Think about that child growing up in a Hebrew household. But he wasn't just, you know, because for this child, he can't compute that. I mean, he's only days, dare I say, a week old or whatever, and he's put into this basket and sent down the river. And in his own mind, there is trauma being formed because he's been rejected by his mom, and his mom is a Hebrew. So not only rejected by her, but rejected by her people. Not good enough to be Hebrew. And then at the same time, growing up in this Egyptian house of influence, but never fully being Egyptian himself. Think about the trauma that that would have formed in his spirit as a child who was only a few days old, trying to figure out what was happening in his own infant mind. And the reason why I bring this up is because many of us in this room have faced similar situations, maybe not down a river, but maybe you felt rejected because of certain family situations where words or even people just giving up on you. But I'm here to tell you today that you serve a God that has never given up on you. Just like he did with Moses, he has not given up on you. And this is just the beginning of the story. And so can you see this? He sees this Egyptian and this Hebrew guy, and he has this anger, this fire burning in him that wants to do something about it because there is a righteous anger, but it's out of control because of his trauma. And he's never fully been Egyptian, but he's never fully been Hebrew, but he wants to stick up for his Hebrew brother. But he's also been a part of the Egyptian household for so long, benefited from their education, benefited from the wealth of being in an Egyptian household, but never fully embraced as an Egyptian himself. And so when the time comes, he has to go to this Egyptian and murder him to stand up for his fellow Hebrew. And yet that Hebrew brother lets the news out somehow. Are you one of us now? Let me share a little something with you guys, right? I'm someone. I am proud to be someone. I'm thankful that I was born and raised in a Samoan household. But I was born and raised in Aotearoa, in New Zealand. And I don't know about you and the way you might have grown up, but the times that I used to visit Samoa, I was never fully embraced as a Samoan. You know, like what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, when I'd go there and visit Samoa, I was like, plastic lily. As if I'm not really a Samoan because I wasn't born and raised in Samoa. And so I don't know the Samoan way. So every time I'd go home, it would be like a Rocky montage. Like I'd read the Samoa, I'd learn Samoan verses, you know. practice at home. Like I'd practice with our language. I'd learn all the customs and still never quite be fully Samoan enough. But never fully embraced as a Kiwi as well, because, you know, people, when I talk to people here, right, in Australia, they say, are you a Kiwi or are you Samoan? I'm both, right? Now, as a Christian, I know who I am in Christ. I praise God for that. But there was a time when, out of that trauma, trying to figure out who I am, and I'm sure for those of you who are born and raised in Australia, it's different too, right? Am I Samoan or am I Australian? Am I Tongan? Like, who am I? Who am I? In a town, in a quiet village. Like, who am I? And God knows who you are. As for some of you, you might come from cultures that doesn't matter. I talked to some of my friends. You know, because for us, it matters, right? It matters what village you come from. And I talked to some of my white friends, and they're just like, oh, I don't know, I'm just white. I'm like, that's okay. Because in our culture, that means a lot to us, right? In the Fat Samoa, that means a lot to us. And so in the Hebrew culture, that means a lot to them too. There's certain practices, certain ways. Our meal in Fat Samoa, we have our certain ways, you know? But I'm just Nelly now. And sure, you know, I'm born and raised in Samoa, but I embrace all of the experiences that God has brought me through because it makes me uniquely who I am in God. Tests, trauma, and all, God has healed me and been with me through it all. And this is where God meets us here, and he meets us in this text in Exodus. So let's go to this passage that Sam read earlier. And this is where we meet Moses. Moses has run off now. After murdering this cat, the word gets out, right? It's all over TikTok. Oh, did you see Moses the murderer? They made up dances about him. Like, it's like, snapped his neck. Right? That's the new TikTok dance, Moses snapping the neck of the Egyptian. And so word gets out. Millions of views. And so he has to leave. He runs off in the bush, meets this dude named Jethro. And he's got a daughter named Zipporah. And they fall in love. Outback love. And as they fall in love and they get married, this is where we meet Moses here. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, because he was a shepherd, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Let me just say, great things happen in the west side. Shout out to Ipswich. All right. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Everybody say, it was burning but not consumed. Now, this is important. You know, when God lights something on fire, it's always burning, but it's never consumed. I mean, it might consume the evil in you, but it doesn't burn you out. He wants you to be on fire, but he doesn't want you to be consumed, because if you are consumed, you're moving out of your own spirit and not the spirit of God. Let me just emphasize this. There's a difference between being tired and being weary. See, when you're tired, it's just a condition of the body. You know, God has designed you to be in a restful rhythm, right? Like, you should spend an adequate amount of time sleeping, because that's what has been apportioned to you, to be awake a certain amount of time and to be asleep and get good sleep in a certain amount of time, because the way you sleep can also be worship to God, the way you rest in Him, right? But when you're weary, weariness is not just a condition of the body. Yes, it does affect your body, but it's a condition of your soul. What do I mean by that? It's when you operate in a strength that God has not apportioned for you to be faithful with. Or you begin to do tasks that God has never called you to do. And you try to do it in your own strength. That's when you become weary. But there's an invitation by the grace of God Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're in this room tonight and you're feeling burnt out, observe your life and look at the things that may exist in your life that are not of God, that God never gave you the strength and a portion to do. But at the same time, if God has apportioned you to do something, then do it with excellence. Let your fire burn brightly. Have you ever seen anybody that they're so anointed at what they do? It looks like hard work, but it's so easily done. And I really believe that every single person in this room has been anointed for a specific purpose, for a specific task in this generation. God has anointed you. He's put his power, he's put his oil on you to be able to do what he's called you to do. He wants you to get lit for him. He wants you to be on fire for him to be able to execute the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. You have a part to play in this. It's not just coming to listen to Pastor Nelly or listen to Pastor Henry as they talk. No, I'm just playing my role. Pastor Henry's playing his role. Helen's playing her role. We're all just playing our roles, but you have a part to play too. And when you are anointed by God, the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit burns brightly so that you can do what God's called you to do. And that's what God wants to do. In your high schools, for my high school students that are in here right now listening to me, he wants you to get lit for him. Not in the way the world gets lit, but in the way that you are so on fire for God that it's undeniable that God exists in your life, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you are on fire for him. You are on fire, but you're not consumed. You see, that fire that Moses had was the fire that ended up killing the Egyptian. Why? Because he saw the injustice that was happening. This Egyptian was trying to push himself on the Israelite because he had the power, and he used this power to abuse this Israelite. So of course, inside the heart of Moses, he wanted to stand up for the Israelite. Why? Because of injustice. That's a righteous cause. But what was unrighteous is that he let the fire burn the Egyptian. Fire is good. After this service, we're going to eat fire, heated food. Amen. There's nothing worse than cold tea. Right? Like, fire is good. How many of you are thankful for fire? Right? I know we only have like 7 days of winter here in Brisbane. I know it's already hot now, right? I know Norman Easter just came back from New Zealand. They're like, wow, that was cold. That's Brisbaneites. We're like, oh, it's so cold. How cold is it? Oh, it's like 17 degrees. And all the Melbourneites look at us, you're wimps, man. Yeah, you're a wimp, but we got beach. All right, so fire is good. Fire is good for purification. Fire is good for cooking. Amen. Amen, somebody. Come on. Help me out here. Hallelujah. Fire has purpose, right? Yeah, like I said, my house, we have a fireplace. For those of you who've been to my house, we have a fireplace at my house. Like when we bought the house, I was like, what's up with this fireplace? It's only going to burn wood for like 7 days, and then it's already summer again. But it's good, right? Like for those 7 days, the fireplace is awesome. Fire has its purpose. But when it's out of control, it's destructive, right? And so for many of us, we don't have a place for fire, or we let our fire go out of control. So you got three levels here. You got those who are on fire, but the fire burns in like rage, right? Because it's uncontrolled. You're not under the anointing of God. And therefore, when there's not a lack of temperance, you end up burning other people with your fire. Then on the other side of the spectrum, you got those whose wood is just wet. You can't even light it up. It's like, oh, yeah, good. Oh, I just want to, you know, they're not really interested in getting on fire. They're like, oh, yeah, let's just go to church. Yeah. You get that same person talking about their favorite sports team, or get that same person talking about their latest trend that they saw on TikTok, or the latest thing that, oh, man, it's all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my gosh, did you see that? Oh, my gosh, there was a sale. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it. You know, oh, like where was that fire when it came to things eternal, right? And when you try to light that fire, when you talk about eternal matters, it's like, man, your wood is wet because people have been raining on your parade, right? But right here is the zone you want to be in, is where you are on fire but not consumed. And that's the invitation. Let's carry on. And Moses said, I will turn aside. Everybody say, turn aside. I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. God is inviting us to turn aside, to see him. Now, many of us in the busyness of our time, we don't turn aside. We're just so enraptured with the noise of this life that we fail to make time to turn aside. See, life has a rhythm. Life has a rhythm. And if you don't know the rhythm of life, you're going to miss out on the times where there's space and rest. Like good music will always have little spaces in it, right? That's the moment of rest. And so if you know a beat, right? Like you know that boom, boom, Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, hump day, boom, 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 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Like that, there's certain points when you're supposed to be restful and then certain points when you're supposed to work hard. But if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, you fail to have time to turn aside. Let me ask you about your daily rhythms. Do you have time during the week on every day to turn aside and just look upon who God is? Whether you look in his word, whether you pray, for you who are parents, the invitation to pray with your household, pray with your spouse. On a regular basis, having a Sabbath, a day that you are holy and just take rest, not just Netflix binge. That's not a Sabbath. Bowing at the altar, oh, boom, boom. It's not rest. It's not replenishing your soul. So verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So he calls his name twice to get his attention. Does he have to say your name twice? Does he have to say my name, like to get your attention? And that's why I will die on the cross of singing a Destiny's Child song in order to get your attention, to listen to what God might be speaking to you today. And he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Now, I'm not going to invite you to take your shoes off here just yet. Maybe you might be led to later. But there's a significance as to why the invitation is to take your shoes off. Okay? Again, proud of my culture, and I know many of our cultures, including the Filipino culture, you take your shoes off. In the Filipino culture, they give you silipa, or jandals for us. Yeah, here's your slipper. And you know, as an islander, they never have my size. You go to a Filipino house and slipper, and then like the back of my foot is like that. Just like, because it's always like size, I'm a size 13, 14, so I'm preparing my Filipinos. If you can import them, that would be great, but you know. It's like my foot is a surfboard and their slipper is a skateboard. Let's just put that comparison in place. But I love Filipino hospitality. But like in Samoan culture, you also take off your shoes when you come into the house, right? When I was growing up, there was a commercial. And those of you who may have grown up in New Zealand, I don't know if it ever showed here in Australia. I believe it was an American commercial. And the commercial was for this thing called odor eaters. And odor eaters, they're these things that you slide into the insoles of your shoe that eat up all the odor inside your shoes. And the commercial was this, because it was my dad's favorite commercial. And he always used to say the catchphrase was, let's eat Italian. Let's eat Italian. And so my dad would always say, let's eat Italian, right? And he'd always, and it would be mine and his joke, right? Because no one else knew what we were talking about. But the commercial goes like this. So there's this husband and wife, they're on a date, and they walk up to this Japanese hostess at the Japanese restaurant. And the Japanese also, it's their custom that you must take your shoes off. And so the hostess says, okay, so good to see you. Like, if you were to come inside the restaurant, you have to take your shoes off to come inside. Japanese custom. And he turns to his wife, because he knows his shoes stink, and he says, let's eat Italian. Why? Because he doesn't want anybody in the Japanese restaurant to smell his feet. I hope you see where I'm getting at. When the invitation comes to Moses, right? It's not just in our custom that you are bringing the dirt of where you've been inside. That's reason number one. But reason number two is that when you take your shoes off, you are toe vulnerable. You know what I'm trying to get at, right? You ever had people over at your house, right? And then they take their shoes off and they don't have socks. And you look at their feet. They should be selling vegetables, like, because they got onions, bunions, and corns on their toes. I'm just going to lay it out there like that because you'll never forget this sermon now. But that's the point of vulnerability that happens when you take your shoes off and you enter into the presence of God. And so the invitation to Moses is, you can not only leave your dirt from where you've come from behind, but I also want you to be vulnerable in my presence for me to see your imperfections. So take your sandals off, because where you are standing now is holy ground. Many of us, not necessarily talking about your physical shoes, but your spiritual shoes, you just want to keep them on because you don't want people to see your vulnerability. You stare at God and you're like, you won't break my soul. You won't break my soul. Like, and God says, no, you've already broken your soul. Now expose it, right? Like, open it up. Let me heal you. You can't heal somebody who already thinks that they're well. And that's the invitation that he brings to us. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. I love this quote here from Ruth Haley Button, the author of Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership, talking about paying attention. Paying attention to all things burning in and around us keeps us in touch with what is truest about God, ourselves, and our world, so that we can hear God calling us by name again. The practice of paying attention awakens us to what is extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. As we live our lives in humble response to the one who is calling us out of the burning bush of our own lives, we discover that we are standing on holy ground more often than we think. Has God got your attention today? So verse 7, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey and fried chicken, praise God, and to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, all the ites. He's like, I'm giving all of their land to you if you will just believe that I am lighting your fire today. Now notice this. He says, firstly, I have surely seen your affliction. He sees you. Church, he sees you. My brother, my sister, he sees you. In the midst of whatever you're dealing with, he sees you. Like, even when you're hanging out with people that we don't know about, he sees you. And he sees what's going on in your soul when you're around people and when you're not around people. He sees your affliction. He hears your cries, and he knows your sufferings. And I love this. He has come down to deliver you. Let me remind you of somebody else who did that. You might know him. This is just a guy named Jesus, right? He sees what you're dealing with, And he has heard. He's not deaf to your cries. He knows. And when Jesus talks about knowing you, when you read about knowing in the Old Testament, it's not just a book knowledge or a library knowledge. When he talks about knowing you, it means a relationship. Like he knows you deeply. He knows you intimately. And the reason why we can trust in Jesus is because he knows suffering. Any suffering you've been through or are going through right now, he has experienced it himself. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows it intimately. And guess what? He has come down. Jesus Christ has come down to save you from your affliction, to deliver you out. He has come down. That's the sort of Savior that we worship and serve. And that same God calls to Moses. Now I'm winding this up right now. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, oh, hold on, buddy. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Israel, out of Egypt? That's a good question, right? How many of us have been like that, right? Let me just paint the scenario. Like, you see the move of God happening, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to be in that environment to worship God and feel his presence. Maybe it's a conference. Maybe it's coming here on a Sunday. Maybe it's to hear your favorite preacher who's coming to preach, and or maybe it's your favorite worship leader who's coming to lead you in worship, and you just love it. Oh, I just want to soak here. I just want to stay here in the presence of God. Oh, it's amazing. And then in the midst of the presence of God, he says, now I want you to go. I want you to go to those hard people, and I want you to reach them. Oh, no. Can I just stay here and just worship? I don't want you to call me to go anywhere. I just want to stay here and soak in you. Just soak in you until I get wrinkly, you know, like when you have a long bath or you swim for a long time, you get wrinkly like an old man and your hands, you know. I just want to soak in God. Just soak. Just me and Jesus. Oh, it's just amazing. And Jesus is like, no, I want you to get up with my presence and go. It's like, oh, no, I don't, just want to worship you. I just want to stay here by the fire of the tree. Oh, it's just amazing. It's like, oh, Christmas tree. Like, it's amazing just being by the fire. I just love the fire. And God is like, I'm lighting a fire in you to go and take that fire out. You see, being in the presence of God will end up calling you to a purpose for God. Being in his presence always leads you to be empowered in his purpose. Oh, we love the presence of God. It's just when he empowers us to go do something. Now think about it. He just finished murdering an Egyptian, and now he's got to go and face the Egyptians. Not just any Egyptian, like the Egyptian, Pharaoh. Oh, really?
I like my farm. I just want to stay by the farm and sit by the fire. Oh, Jesus, it's just amazing.
And that's many of us, right? Like in the four walls of the church. Oh, I'll just keep my Christianity to myself and just stay within the four walls of the church. I'm not going to tell my office mate that I'm a Christian. Shh. I'll give him a hot cross bun and just trust that the hot cross bun will fill with the anointing of God. And as he eats the hot cross bun, maybe he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to open my mouth and say, Jesus. Or I'm going to tell anybody about who he is in my life. Shh. It's a secret. Secret stories. Don't look at my Facebook. It's the reason why some of you won't post anything holy about the God you follow. Or you'll take photos of yourself in the gym. Did I go there? Did I go there? I'm sorry. Did I go there? More biceps than Bibles, I'm just saying. But, you know, you keep your Christianity a secret. Oh, I just want to stay by the fire and keep warm by the fire. But please don't take me outside, you know. And God's saying, I want you to get lit so you can take this fire out. Paul says in Romans, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Like the whole purpose that God wants you to get lit for him is so that you can take the fire of his gospel and share it with those who don't know him. If God has been good to you, he's been too good to you to keep it to yourself. I would venture to say that if right, by, under the sound of my voice, you are feeling a pressure that is not delivered by the Holy Spirit where you feel like you need to perform because Uncle Nelly's telling you to, don't listen to me. You need to get lit with the gospel so you can export the gospel. What I am saying is don't feel like you have to perform in order to earn the love of God or me or anybody else. No, no, no. I want you to understand the power of this gospel because it changes lives like it changed Moses from being a murderer to a missionary. That's what happens under the anointing and the power of God. And God says, like he said to Moses, he says to you today, I will be with you. I love that. See, when you open your mouth and talk to others about Jesus, Jesus is with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, well, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name then? What shall I say to them? I mean, that, again, another good question. Another good question. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. Now you may be thinking that's a weird name, but this is the mention of the name Yahweh, the holy name of God, right? I am. And you may think that's strange, but I need you to understand this, church, as I wind this up. Like, he may not be what you want him to be, but he will be exactly who you need him to be. I'll say that one more time. He may not be what you want him to be, but he is exactly who you need him to be. See, because if Yahweh had put a name on his name, like God the Deliverer, then the guy who had one leg who's expecting healing, he's like, oh, I don't need a deliverer. I need healing. Like, because I only got one leg. That was a lot of hard work just doing that. And then the guy who needs deliverance, so God is the healer for him. But the guy who needs deliverance is like, I need a deliverer. And the guy who's fatherless says, I need a father. So God in his infinite wisdom said, you know what? I am who I am. To every single person on this planet, including you, I am all you need. I may not necessarily be all you want, but I am all you need. And there's the invitation for us today. God invites us to give him our attention. Has he got your attention today? And maybe God has given, you've given God your attention. Maybe he's gotten your attention and your desire is to give him your face, to face the ugliness at the rind, but also face the one who is our all in all. With our lives. The invitation today is to turn away from the things that stress you and turn towards God who brings you into a place of rest for your soul. So I'm going to invite us into a time of just being still before him. Please just take a moment. And I know this may be hard for some of our young people, but I invite you to turn your phones off. Just put them aside because we're going to give God our attention. And I'm going to lead us into a time of ministry today. Just take a moment. And if you want to, give God your full attention. Position yourself however you want to. If you want to kneel or be seated on the floor even, or just seated where you are. Can we give God? Church, can we, every nation Logan, can we give him our full attention tonight? Just begin to take a moment to close your eyes. Just position yourself however you'd like to. And what I want you to do as you give him your attention is just listen. Just follow me as I lead us into this time of ministry. Just pay attention to your breathing. Just breathe deeply in and out. Please don't distract others around you. Don't worry about the person next to you. God wants your attention. This is a holy moment. Let's pay attention to our breathing. Let's notice how in the rush of things, how breathing can tend to be shallow or something that we can take for granted. So on this day, take time to breathe deeply and breathe slowly. Now receive each breath as God's gift to you. Evidence that He wants you to be alive today. Now take some time to pay attention to your life over the last days or even weeks. First of all, notice any way that focusing too much on the vision might be hampering your ability to receive this present moment and the gifts that it brings. Now, don't throw out your vision, but take some time to pay attention to your life as it is being given to you right now. Be very specific about naming the gifts in it and be grateful. Then notice anything that is external to you that may be surprising and out of the ordinary. Now, it doesn't matter whether it feels significant or insignificant. The fact that God is bringing it to your attention and speaking to you about it is reason enough to take off your shoes and respond with reverence. Now, as God reveals something in your life that may be a burning bush, take time to ponder what it might mean with utter willingness to follow the wisdom or guidance that comes. And also notice your inner dynamics. Notice at any point when your heart has burned within you in the midst of your day-to-day life. Give yourself time and space to ponder its spiritual significance without judging or evaluating or calling anything right or wrong. Notice the times of consolation and desolation that you have ignored in the rush of things. Listen for God's invitation for you to choose life, even in relation to leadership decisions that you face. Allow the dynamics of consolation and desolation to speak to whatever decisions you are facing. Remember, you are allowed to choose life. Just keep breathing deeply. Give God your attention. If you need to close your eyes, just lock in. I'm going to pray this prayer. It's written by Ted Loader. Oh God, let something essential and joyful happen in me now. Something like the blooming of hope and faith, like a grateful heart, like a surge of awareness of how precious each moment is, that now, not next time, now is the occasion to take off my shoes, to see every bush afire, to lead and whirl with neighbor, to gulp the air as sweet wine until I've drunk enough to dare to speak the tender word. Thank you. I love you. You're beautiful. Let's live forever beginning now. And I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Thank you, Jesus. Just give him your attention. Give him your attention. Stay locked in and focused. I know sometimes silence can be awkward, but you need the silence. Press into Him. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, if your desire is to give God your full attention, maybe through this message and through what God has been speaking to you, there's a desire to say, not just this moment, but for every moment, God, I want you to have my full attention. And so I'm giving my life over to you. I want to trust you with my whole life, just like Moses did. If you're here in this place and your desire is to surrender your life to him, can I ask that you lift your hands right where you are and surrender so that I can pray for you right now as we give our lives over to him. Don't look around. This is between you and God. Awesome. Lord, you see these hands that are lifted, these lives that are lifted to you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Come, you have our full attention. Lord, with lifted hands and lifted hearts, Lord, we profess that from this day forward, Lord, we will carve out time on a regular basis. Lord, even as we're entering into this time of prayer and fasting and seeking you, God, you have our attention now. The invitation is to come. Those who are weary and heavy laden, that you will give us rest. Lord, take us into a position of rest. We abandon the temptation towards anxiety and we accept your invitation to not be anxious for anything, but with prayer, petition, and with thanksgiving, we present our request before you that the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in you, Christ Jesus. We give you our attention. Take our attention. Our attention belongs to you. Forgive us, Lord, when we have allowed the noise of this life to distract us from the peaceful presence of the Holy Spirit. So many things vying for our attention, but God, you are the Lord of our attention. From this day forward, enable us to live in the zone of affection and giving our attention towards the one who gave his all for us. We give you our attention. We give you our lives. We give you our all because you first gave us your all. In Jesus' name, amen. Just continue to stay in that position right now. For many of you, it's just staying in that position of breathing deeply. For some of you, God may be showing you things that you may need to document. Like, just stay faithful to not get distracted. Just document those things. Write them down if God is showing you things. We're going to get ready to give God our full attention and make room for him in our lives, in our schedules, in our just our everyday living as we prepare to worship him. Won't you do that right now? Just take a moment just to enjoy his presence together.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.